what is really his way to be sharing in this wonderful and unusual service. Do you realize how unusual it is for a church to have only two pastors in 58 years? You could probably count them on a few fingers and toes. I was greatly honored when Brother Dahl called me and asked me if I would be willing to speak today, David's anniversary Sunday. I told my kids about it. And I said, I'm really honored because David Pittman knows all the preachers everywhere. And I'm deeply, deeply honored to share in this time. I know that you are aware of the blessing of the pastor that God has given you. Today I want to share a message with you that I have entitled, We Have This Treasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll begin reading here at verse 1, and we'll read on down through chapter 4 to verse 7. The Apostle Paul writes, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is the heart. And we have such trust in Christ the Lord God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil was taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on you. But we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Father, this morning, help us to understand, those of us, Lord, who have been called into gospel ministry, what a treasure you have committed to us. The treasure of the glorious message of Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray today as we celebrate this beautiful anniversary of one of your servants, Lord, that his spirit may be renewed and refreshed by the word that we have read. Lord, I thank you for Brother Pittman, and I thank you, Lord, for his precious wife and family. I thank you for the many, many years, Lord, of long friendship. We love you, Father, and thank you for bringing us together in your service. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's my great honor today to have Brother Pittman and Brother Messer here, two men who I have loved for a long time, men who have a pastor's heart, men who love deeply, who are committed to the service of Christ and his people. I remember the day when Brother Pittman came to Temple Baptist Church and went forward for church membership. And I remember a young lady named Kimberly, who was a student in my theology class at Temple Baptist College. Little did I know what the Lord had prepared for them. I often think about the day that I showed up in a Sunday school class and my wife was the only one there with the Sunday school teacher. She had just come to Fort Wayne, Indiana, lived with her grandmother who came to our church and to attend Fort Wayne Bible College. As I was walking up the stairs that morning to the Sunday school class, I said, the Lord said, boy, you don't know what I have for you. And I walked into that classroom and that was it. I was done. I saw this beautiful young lady and I knew she was something special. Something was said by Brother Darrell about pastor's wives. I know from personal experience the significance of a praying wife in the ministry. People who know my wife as a very quiet, gentle person do not know the rock that she is. Through thick and thin, through good days, bad days, she's been on her knees for me. David, you and Darrell have been blessed likewise. Wives who love you and who love the ministry that God has called you to as a team. Brother David has pursued preparation for his ministry in a tremendous way. I know he's been exposed long ago to Dr. Gail Terrell. Dr. Terrell was one, if you were with him very long, you were challenged to further your education, to learn more, to equip yourself better, to serve the Lord. And that took with Brother David. Through his pursuit of learning, he has earned 3 master's degrees, including a very intensive Master of Divinity degree and a Doctor of Theology degree. But all of his learning has been for the purpose of greater service to the Lord. He's been blessed to have Kim by his side every step of the way. Blessed to have a son-in-law who shares with him in the ministry, and both of them sharing together in the leadership of Baptist Faith Missions and reaching out through our missionaries across the world. And by the way, they're both doing a fantastic job. I remember the day that they invited me to meet them over at Rio Grande at Bob Evans for lunch. And there they twisted my arm to join the board of directors of Baptist Faith Missions, a position that I highly cherish. At our church, the reason this issue of me being a mission pastor came up, at our church every Sunday morning, I do a mission moment, and we put one of our missionaries, family pictures up on the screen, and I read the latest report. Then we have a season of prayer for that missionary and their request and prayer. And I like to let them know, hey, this Sunday, it's your turn. You're going to be remembered at Calvary Baptist Church in prayer. As with many of us, Dr. Terrell was more than just a teacher. He was a friend who loved us enough to prod us along and challenge us. I will remember the day that I first met Dr. Terrell. Pastor Friend and I we'd go to lunch on Mondays together. One day I got this thing in the mail, a brochure from Temple Baptist College in Cincinnati. And I said, let's just go over there and eat hamburgers and just see what's going on here. Well, when I left there, I signed up for class. I had partially finished my Master of Divinity degree, and Dr. Terrell challenged me, and he challenged me in so many kind and gracious ways, and I appreciate that very deeply. Brother Pittman, I think, not only has studied to improve himself, but he has been a source of great strength to those whom he has mentored over the years. In 1911, Dr. A.T. Robertson, professor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, published a great book titled The Glory of the Ministry. For over 100 years, that book has been a blessing to countless pastors. And in the introduction to his book, Dr. Robertson called the scripture that I've read here Paul's great panegyric to the gospel ministry. The Apostle Paul, in the passage that I read, expressed what a glorious work it is to which God has called us. And we dare not ever forget that, Brother David, Brother Darrell. Regardless of how hard the times get, it's a glorious calling that God has given to us. And someday the chief shepherd. Some surveys have shown that the average tenure of pastors in American churches is 4 years. That's the average. That means there are some that are less than that, and some more than that. In fact, the Urban Ministry Institute claims that 1,500 pastors leave the ministry permanently every month. There are a lot of reasons, I think, that have been put forth to explain that. And I would say the primary cause is simply that the vision they had at the beginning has faded because of the battles, the spiritual battles that are just continuous. The attacks of Satan on our minds and our hearts and our spirits have worn them down. I can tell you that there have been so many times in my ministry of 58 years now that I have thought, I just can't do this anymore. I remember sitting at our dining table one day in tears, and I said to Ellen, I said, I just don't think I can do this anymore. I was worn out by a whole lot of the various things that pastors have to deal with. I think the problem is these men who leave the ministry have lost their vision, and their zeal has grown cold because they have lost the vision of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul calls us as pastors to constantly behold the glory of his face. In his third chapter that I read, the word glory or glorious appears 12 times. Yes, indeed, it is Paul's panegyric to the gospel ministry, his praise of the highest kind. Brother David, in our message today, our passage, the Lord has shown to Paul and then to us pastors the great glory of the ministry. First of all, we see that there has to be a transformation. In verse 18 of chapter 3, he talks about how, as beholding the glory of the Lord in the glass, we are being changed into the same image. The vision that Paul had of Jesus on the road to Damascus never left him, but all he saw was such a bright, brilliant light that it knocked him to the ground. But he never forgot that vision when the face of Jesus shined in all its brilliance upon him. This happens when we behold as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. And in the scripture we're shown the beautiful pictures of the beauty and the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, and his compassion for other people. Brother David, don't ever be ashamed of your emotions. We try to keep them in check. Jesus wept in a public place, knowing what he was going to do. That these sisters' hearts were broken. And he's about to bring their brother back to life. But Jesus sees these people standing around and they're weeping. And many of them don't know anything about the grace of God. And he wept. Another place says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they fainted and were as sheep having no shepherd. I think for me, the greatest term that I love to identify with as the pastor is that word shepherd. It's a beautiful term. Sometime back I had to undergo an MRI. You had one of those, and they roll you back up in that little tube where the top of it's like right here. If you have claustrophobia, it's not a lot of fun. So the lady gave me this little rubber ball and said, if you have a problem, squeeze that. And we'll come in and get it. And I thought, well, all you gotta do is squeeze it, but then it's all for naught. And so I closed my eyes and I took that beautiful psalm, the 23rd psalm, and I went over it word by word by word. The Lord, the only Lord God, is right now my shepherd, my guide, my protector, the one who leads me by still waters and restores my soul. As we spend time looking into the face of Jesus through the lens of faith and the lens of scripture, transformation takes place. Paul says we are being transformed into the same image. It's a present tense term. It speaks of an ongoing process of becoming more and more like him. The word Paul uses for this being transformed is the Greek word from which our word metamorphosis comes, to change form, to become different from what we were by the grace of God. God's desire for his people is that we grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus. But this ministry, Paul tells us in verse 1 of chapter 4, has its challenge and responsibility. He writes, therefore, since we have this ministry of reflecting the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we have received mercy. We do not faint or lose heart. There are a lot of challenges that confront the man of God. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, writing to the pastors and the shepherds to whom he's writing, that they are to be examples to the flock The Apostle Paul himself said, "Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ." And what God calls us to be as pastors is an example to our people. We are to be examples of Christ. God has entrusted us this ministry as a great responsibility. Any man who takes it lightly doesn't understand the gravity that hangs upon what we do. Feeding the flock of God and seeking to bring through the preaching of the gospel others to faith in Jesus. The ministry requires honesty, Paul tells us here. Some things have to be renounced. Shameful things, craftiness, guile, handling the word of God deceitfully rather than under the power of the Holy Spirit. As pastors, we have to commend ourselves to the consciences of others. Our integrity must be unquestioned. And I'm confident in saying that the integrity of your pastor has never been questioned. The world and Satan rejoice when a pastor falls. And we hear about it. I was impressed when I learned that during his ministry day, the great Billy Graham had traveled the world. He would never get onto an elevator if there was one lady on the elevator alone. He would wait for the next car. So there would never be any opportunity for a hint of rumor. Ministry does require honesty, but it also requires that we face a powerful foe. Every pastor can tell you that the God of this age opposes everything that we're doing as pastors and as churches. Satan hates what you are doing as the Anniston Baptist Church. The God of this age, Paul says, has blinded the minds of those who are perishing. Think of that word, perishing. Perishing. Think of the word lost and what it means. God, John 3:16, I learned this verse when I was a little boy. My mother taught me. I would stand beside her and she would open her Bible and teach me Bible verses to memorize. You know this verse, don't you? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." To perish is to die away from God and be separated from God for eternity. But one day it struck me that the great power of that verse was a little two-letter word, "so." How much does God love the world? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. To be rejected by men, despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The ministry demands the simple preaching of that gospel of Christ. He tells us here in verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." Folks, we don't have to draw people to Christ. We need to lift him up. And he said, "If I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." And then Paul says, "We are bondservants for Christ's sake." That word bondservant really means a slave. John the Baptist said of Jesus, he must increase, but I must increase. Our ministry is to increase him, to glorify, to magnify the Lord Jesus, who the scripture says was made, listen, not just to bear sin. He has made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. On the cross, Jesus hung there as the very epitome of sin. He was made to be sin for us. He didn't deserve that. We don't deserve to be made the righteousness of God in him. It's what we call grace. The ministry demands that we preach this beautiful, simple gospel and allow the gospel and its power to do the work that God has called us. And the last thing I want to show you here is the fact that we hold this treasure. Brother David, Brother Darrell, we hold this treasure, the ministry of Christ, the beauty of the gospel. We hold this treasure in jars of clay. There's no pastor who's been in the ministry very long who does not realize that indeed we are rightly compared to jars of clay. Jars of clay can be easily broken. The message that we hold is the treasure, not the pot of clay. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 16, now thanks be to God who, listen to this, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. My brother pastors, we are always led in triumph even when we don't feel triumphant. Even when it seems like the devil is just grinding us in the ground, he is leading us in triumph. Always. Through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. What a beautiful phrase. Listen to this. For we are, notice these next two words. We are to God the fragrance of Christ. Every God called servant, every God called pastor is to God the fragrance of Christ. Among those who are being saved, among those who are perishing, to the one he says we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And then Paul said, who's sufficient for these things? Brother preachers, have we not felt that many times? Lord, I'm not sufficient for this. We have this treasure. But remember, in biblical times, those clay jars were so often used to contain valuables. And we have this treasure in jars of clay, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. I want to tell you one little brief story before I close. I would honor the memory of my father today. My dad was a rough coal miner with an 8th grade education who didn't come to Christ until he was in his early 30s. He said he used to get drunk and stagger around the streets of Providence, Kentucky, which was our hometown, and say he wished it had rained gunpowder 6 feet deep all over town and lightning struck it. Now, what kind of a mind is that? But he attended a revival meeting down the street from where they lived, a little Second Baptist Church in Providence, Kentucky. And he said the old preacher was preaching you must be born again. And he said, every time he would say that, he'd bring that finger down. And he said, every time, it was like it was pointed right at me. The Lord brought him under deep conviction. And one day out in his garden hoeing potatoes, he could stand it no more. And he leaned on that hoeing and trusted Jesus as his Savior. He didn't know where that term lead him. And by the way, he's buried within sight of that plot to this very day. Then God called him into ministry. I have told so many people he was probably one of the most unlikely candidates for the ministry that God ever called. He realized he was the job of calling. He knew he was totally dependent on the Lord to do his work through him. And my father became one of the finest personal winners of souls that I have known. A few years ago, Brother Steve, we were up at Richland Baptist Church. The corral went up, and they wanted us to bring our former students. They were having kind of a mission emphasis day. You remember that? After the morning service, there was a couple who had been visiting that day. They were visiting this lady's sister and her husband who belonged to the Richland Baptist Church. Now, I had mentioned that my father had been pastor of a church in Charleston, Kentucky, and I said, you folks probably don't even know where it is. It's just a little white spot on the road. And this couple was going out, and this gentleman stopped, and he said, you say your dad was a pastor in Charleston? What was his name? I said, Frank Mitchell. And tears welled up in his eyes. And he looked at his wife, and he said, honey, this is Brother Mitchell's son. I said, yes, and he said, your father came to our home. Amen. When my dad was 50 years old, he had been in the ministry almost 20 years. And one Sunday before Thanksgiving, he was preaching, and he had a massive stroke in his pulpit and went down. He lived for 10 more years. During that time, the Lord began to work in my heart about calling me to ministry. For the first few years, every time I walked to the pulpit and stepped into that pulpit, I thought, Dad should be here. But he can't. I'm here in his place. I'm the son that's been sent in from the bench. And it took a while, Brother Darrell, for me to begin to realize, no, this is my ministry. We're simply vessels. For the day, that's all we are. We're vessels. And the more we empty ourselves of ourselves, the more we become filled with this treasure that we have. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. With the power to be in God, not of us. May we never lose sight of this glorious calling of God. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you that in your great wisdom and power, you choose men, Lord, who are just vessels of clay to be bearers of your glorious message. So many times, Lord, we feel like Moses who stood before the burning bush. He said, who am I that I should go before Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go? Oh my. Moses, what's that in your hand? That staff. You remember that story? All throughout the story of Moses, there in the scripture, that staff. The king, not Moses' staff. Staff of God. Brothers, we take what God puts in our hand and he uses that for his glory. Father, today I pray for my dear friend and brother. Lord, we've been connected in so many different ways in so many years, Lord. And our friendship and respect for the ministry of each other has but grown. And I thank you, Lord, that it's my privilege again to serve you with Brother David and Brother Philip and Lord and Brother Darrell and the other men on Board of Directors of Baptist Faith Missions, Lord, to support and encourage our missionaries to be a part of their work, Lord, to help make decisions that would be in their best interest and encourage them, Father, that they are not alone where they are, but they are loved and they are encouraged, they are supported by prayer and love. Lord, I pray that you will bless this church as you have in the past. Lord, I'm grateful for the wonderful, wonderful ministry of my dear friend, Brother Rex Hensley, for his faithfulness, Lord, to stay by the stuff over 33 years. Lord, I thank you for the legacy that he left. And I'm thankful that you called Brother Pittman, Lord, to take that mantle upon himself and continue that ministry here. Lord, we love you, because you give us the privilege to serve you and work with you. We are laborers together with Christ. What a glorious honor.